You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we will be discussing ways to drive your teenager away from church. My name is Ashley Parrish. I'm joined by my co-host, Jessica Pfeiffer.
Hey there.
And Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hi, kids.
So, Ashley, you know, in my own life, I see a lot of friends, family members, good parents, intentional parents who want their kids to know and love Jesus, but they have teens and young adults that are leaving the church in droves. Have you seen that in your circle too, Ashley?
Absolutely. And I still think to this day, parents, we just haven't figured out the right formula, so to speak, because I think that's what we're looking for. Because with little ones, it's so easy, like feed them, make sure they nap, make sure they're being nice, teach them how to read. But, you know, and you teach them songs about Jesus and to love God and, you know, all these precious Bible stories that are true and that are in the Bible. But then they become these teenagers, and that's where, you know, we Christian parents just have the hardest time.
Yeah, Dr. Ken. So why is this that great parents, parents who are very intentional with their kids, are really turning, their kids are turning away from the church?
Well, of course, one big influence that we can't address directly is that, you know, our world is getting darker. And, you know, I don't think it's news that this nation has gone further and further from faith. So it's not just a failure of parenting that we're talking about. But, you know, it is something that needs to be taken seriously. There was some survey research done a few years ago that, depending upon which research you looked at, between 60 and 80% of church-involved teenagers completely dropped off the spiritual map once they left home. And that's significant. That's, you know, if you were putting out cars and 60 to 80% of them broke down 5 miles down the road, you got to look at the assembly line here a little bit. And again, you know, faith, the Christian faith, is a gift from God, not an ideology that's taught. So it's not exactly a one-to-one a correlation, but it is something to take seriously. So the things, though, that I see that parents do influence that cause real problems in their teenager's faith. The first one is obvious, and really probably not a lot of folks that listen to this podcast, and that is, if you are a quote-unquote Christian parent that attends church regularly, 1 to 2 times a month at best, and really don't talk about the faith at home, and it's really not a part of your life, then, you know, those parents, frankly, should not be stunned when their kids come out with an even further watered-down view of that. And that's not normally the kind of parents that I'm dealing with. What really gets to me, and you guys, I've talked to you about this, it really bugs me, is that there is a kind of real motivated, intense Christian parent that really wants to do it right and share the faith and encourage faith in my children and teenagers. And they can do stuff that is almost the opposite, like doing things with, I guess, good intentions, that with teenagers always backfires and makes it far worse. And I just want to, you know, shake them and say, look, this is not how you influence your teenager. You're making it worse. And, and those are the kind of parents that I really work hardest with.
So what exactly are they doing, though, Dr. Ken? Because now you've got me concerned. Am I doing those things?
Well, again, if you're active and involved, like you said, you know, you've taught your children the Bible. You've, you know, I get videos from my grandchildren of them memorized scripture that they're saying. And it's so, so encouraging. And parents that do that, they want to keep doing that. And basically, there's a way to not finish well. So there's several things that I've thought about that really, if you look at it, these are ways that you can drive your teenager away from church. These are things that might seem like a good practice to a parent, but in fact, it does the opposite. So, for example, number one, if you want to drive your teenager away from church, continuously teach and preach no matter what your kid's age. Just be that preachy, teachy, bring any topic back to, yeah, but you know, the Lord is sovereign. And you gotta kind of do this loop that is predictable to your teenager. And again, you do that, and teenagers in my office just hate that. It mm-hmm. just has a negative influence.
Okay, but I feel like my kids are just beginning to understand deep things at the age of about 13, where I can have conversations with them about this stuff. So am I just not going to talk with them about this stuff? Am I not going to share our beliefs or my beliefs with them?
There it is. Yes, that's what parents tell me. Like, wait a minute. So mm-hmm. I just don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's important that what you first said, that you're correct. Teenagers, 13 and up, are able to think deeper than children. And that's actually a good thing. And so it doesn't mean that you shouldn't speak about the faith in front of your teenager. Absolutely, you should. It is what kind of speaking that you do. And there's a big difference. This is also in the Feeding the Mouth That Bites You book. There's a big difference between a teaching sort of stance versus adult-to-adult advice and sharing. There's a big difference between, but you know, your mother and I believe that God versus, yeah, you're right, that is a pretty scary thing. For me, I just have to count on faith in a good God. You may think that's silly, sweetheart, but this is how I see it. Something that is, you hear the difference? It's much more conversational, like you said, Jessica. So not at all am I saying don't talk about the faith and share, but if you continually preach and teach, that is the biggest turnoff to teenagers. I hear it in my office all the time. They just roll their eyes with, oh, here we go.
I have to be careful with that one. I'm such a teacher by nature. Maybe that's just my big excuse, but I don't know. I just want to teach.
Well, it's funny. I have talked to a lot of moms who literally are teachers, and it is a struggle for them. You know, dads are speech makers, so they don't necessarily make a quick statement, but dads have a habit of having this kind of canned, you know, what I've always thought of, and they start in, and man, you know, so it's different ways of doing it, but you're right. A lot of times it's harder for adults, parents who are actually pretty good at a thing like teaching to just put a cork in it. Don't teach this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So essentially you're saying that when these things come up, I should explain my view and this is what I think, but you're free to think whatever you want. Yeah. Kind of a hands-off approach about this is just my thoughts, my ideas.
And again, much more effective that way. That's the point.
Okay.
More
effective. That's good.
But feels reverse. You know what I mean? Like intense parents are like, it's not an opinion. It's the truth. No one's saying that. The point is, when you talk to an adult, you can't talk like that or you just sound like a jerk. Right. And that's very ineffective. So that's kind of counterintuitive to a lot of parents. Here's another one. See what you think of this. Number two, do not ask about or show interest in your teenager's views about faith and shut down all disagreements with long speeches. That's also a good way to drive your teenager away from church. It is stunning to me how few parents who are really involved in teaching, taking their teenagers to church, rarely just ask open questions like, did you think the sermon was any good? I mean, you were drifting, I noticed. So, dude, what do you think about when the pastor says this? Or what do you think about this and that thing? And here's the key is really listen, because mm-hmm. I've had tons of teenagers in active Christian families that tell me things their parents never knew. You know, little things like, oh, no, I'm not a Christian. Oh, didn't you ever tell your parents that? No, don't tell them. They'll be mad. Well, that's mm-hmm. that is a complete closed door. There's nothing you can do. So ask your teenagers about stuff, but be open-ended about it. Don't, you know, use that as a jump off to, okay, finished. Let me tell you my teachy thing. That goes back to number one. But also you have to kind of be not persistent. Well, you need to be persistent, but not irritating, so that don't be surprised, especially if a young teenager doesn't have much of an answer. Well, I don't know what I think about that. Okay. Well, I was just curious because I didn't know if you see it the same way that our pastor did, or what did you think? Make it a continual, occasional thing that signals to them, hey, I'm interested in your thoughts. But sometimes that also just requires patience because, you know, teenagers don't give great answers to some of these things.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, how much are teens actually thinking about this anyway? I think I mean, with my own kids, I'd say that during this stage of life, they're more concerned with their social lives than they are their spiritual lives.
That's
right. And I'm wondering if that's really true across the board.
Yeah, really, if you think about it, the two kind of problems that teenagers have that I see from Christian families with faith is, number one, a kind of an unexamined faith that they just, you know, well, we just go. And this is that cooperative kid that you think, we're this is great, we're winning. But it's also a kid that may very well leave to go off to college or work, and it drops off the map because I never even thought it was a real thing or something that wasn't just what my family does. So it's an unexamined faith. And the other one we can talk about in a minute is that the other problem teenagers have is usually when they over-politicize the faith and they think it's all about repression and making people do stuff and whatever. But I think that's part of the whole goal of asking your teenagers about what they think is because they really need to examine this. They really need to be thinking about this. And it needs to be okay for them to disagree.
Right. I never thought about it this way, but recently my teenager and I were having a discussion, and it was a spirituality. You know, we were talking about things, and she started telling me some thoughts she had about it. And because, you know, her father and I aren't married, and so she has two different households, and I do, you know, teach women about the Bible. And so, you know, there's just some differences there. And I asked her a question, and she answered me and told me how she felt. It was an honest answer, and I listened, and I said, well, okay, you know, it wasn't a bad answer, and I wasn't surprised by her answer, but she was surprised that I listened to her and didn't teach.
Isn't that a
right
shame?
Behind it. Yeah, like it was kind of like a gut punch, but like, but wow, it kind of opened my eyes. Yeah, she was like, wow, Mom, like you let me answer that and you didn't like teach me, you know.
I listen. Shut up. I listen to you.
I was just like looked at her with wide eyes.
But, I know.
But
that's right.
Because I want her to have her own faith, because it's a relationship with the Lord, and she can't just ride the coattails of my relationship with the Lord.
She cannot.
Because it won't last.
That's
and so
right.
I do. So I think it's important, like you said, for us to listen. And I'm going to be very mindful of asking questions at, you know, when needed at the right time, and listening to her response.
That's good.
So what if their ideas are seriously flawed? I mean, how do I challenge their thinking and encourage them without having them shut down? What are some tips for that?
That's important, because you're going to very likely hear seriously flawed stuff.
Yeah.
And with a child, you correct them. No, I can understand that you thought that God was created at one point, or when was God born? That's a great point, but it's wrong. God was not born. He's always has been. He's self-existent, whatever. But with a teenager, who says, well, you know, I mean, the Bible is a patriarchal document. I mean, really, it's not wrong, but it's influenced heavily, as you know. If you turn around and go, what? That is brand new hypocritical stuff, and that's not, then you're shut down. So, and yet at the same time, there's no reason to go, huh, good point, thanks. It's not true. So the middle ground is, if you can stomach it and keep yourself calm, ask more. What do you mean by that? Where did you hear that? That's interesting. And really listen. And then, frankly, you do pretty well if you would occasionally not correct that teenager at that moment. It's not a disaster if you don't say something right then. But when you do need to, and you need to respond to it, I'd go back to what we said in number one, which is you don't preach it, you own it. Like, wow, you know that thing you said the other day about the Bible being inaccurate? It's really funny. I thought a lot about that. And that's really not how I see it. It's not even really how you were raised. So I'm fascinated that that's something you thought about. Can you tell me more about that? Because, you know, I believe, so you own it, you talk about your thing, and then you still carry on a dialogue about it. And again, my point here is that that is super effective. And the other of just correcting this in, you know, kind of mistake they make is not helpful at all.
So sometimes I feel like they might be disagreeing with me on purpose, just to rebel or irritate me. I know there are kids out there that personality-wise, that might lend itself to being more the case. Right. What do you do about that, where you feel like they're just using it to get under your skin? Do you just ignore it? How do you handle that?
Well,
you sign
I think
them
it's,
up for a Bible study, right?
That's it. That's exactly it. Bible camp for a year. I think it's important to try to be aware of that teenagers do that in lots of areas. I have a lot of, especially that teenagers that's verbal, that you're kind of been pretty close to when they were younger, and they really know you well, and they know how to get under your skin. And so it's important to identify that when it's happening. Maybe your spouse can kind of point that out. You know, she's only saying that because you get all upset. But in those cases, it's important not to take that bait. Usually, if they're doing that, it is, in fact, kind of testing about, you know, are you just going to teach and preach all the time? So I would laugh at it. It's just fun, you know, when they do that. But the thing that Ashley mentioned gets to number three, which is don't address your own shortcomings or obvious sin in front of your teenager. I think it's important when, Ashley, when your daughter's talking to you about, well, how do you teach about this and you're divorced, these kind of things. That's an important thing when you, in an appropriate level, acknowledge things that, yep, that's true. That's not what I teach. That's, you know, this is our understanding of divorce. And yet, look, here's the thing in my life. It's very important for all parents to be realistic and make sure their teenagers know that they are not coming at faith from a position of self-righteousness or perfection. And it's surprising. Very few parents actually do that overtly, but it would surprise you how often teenagers just kind of think that's kind of what my parents are. They're perfect. A good subset of that is when you're a teenager, you're talking to them, say, about sex and purity. It's not infrequent that a teenager will ask, well, did you stay pure before marriage? And here's the answer. Write this down. The answer is, if I thought it would help you, I would tell you everything that I did before marriage, but I don't think it will help you. I can tell you this. I'm not talking to you about this because I did this perfectly well. Mm-hmm. Now, see, if everyone did that, then those of you out there that were all pure and stuff wouldn't make the rest of us look bad, because right? Then you're the one that said, no, I didn't do anything. And now it's, my other parents said, you see what I mean? Like the point is, and by the way, just so I'll remind you, nobody shows up pure. I mean, come on. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not. So it's a matter of appropriately sharing your own shortcomings, even down to, look, I know over the weekend, I was mad at you all weekend. And I just want you all to know I'm really sorry. In matter of fact, I do that a lot. You know, I do it a lot, and I'm really struggling with that. It's something I pray about. So, you know, appreciate your patience. That strengthens your faith. It makes it winsome to teenagers. It is a better way to deal with it than to do a silly sort of pretending that I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had anything in my background, and we're good people. That's just really weak.
I think our kids know our current issues anyway. I mean, they're obvious firsthand witnesses to a lot of what's going on in our homes and when we lose our temper and the frustrations that we experience. And so I think it's easy for them to see. So we're just kind of living in denial if we don't admit it, right?
And as Christians particularly, that's a big part of showing our faith. If I'm preaching to my kids or hoping to get across to my teenagers that grace is the central thing that I cling to in my life, and I am Mr. Touchy and can't handle you telling me my shortcomings, and as Jessica, you already mentioned, teenagers love to point out our shortcomings. If I'm all touchy about it and defensive, then I am, in fact, negating the very thing that I'm teaching by the way I talk with my teenager.
Right. Mm-hmm. This has been a really interesting conversation. Join us next week as we cover part two. Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.